Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 633.
Today we hear from Roland, who was quite vexed on the issue of prologues when I discussed it a week or two ago. He says,
"The recent episode on prologues was interesting, but prologue discussions always make me wish more authors used them more appropriately or just skipped writing them entirely. So many prologues don't need to be there. Many are also written in a different style, tense, or point of view, seemingly just because. Surveys show that many readers skip prologues entirely, and my belief is that it's because so many authors write them as a mini passion project for the book rather than to add value. With online book purchases, samples, and look inside features, the first few pages can make or break a sale. Having a weird prologue that doesn't properly represent the rest of the book can mean losing readers, especially new ones. Personally, I don't plan to have prologues in my novels, and if I do, I'm going to call them Chapter 1 just to be safe. What's your take on when to add a prologue and the format it should take compared to the rest of the book?"
Well, I never thought I would say this because younger me, who was the avid reader, especially the avid reader of fantasy, loved prologues. There was nothing I couldn't get enough of more than a good prologue. Except maybe a good sex scene, but I was a teenager, and that's expected. But, you know, I kind of tend to agree with you. A really good prologue is a fantastic thing. There's nothing else that can accomplish what a really good prologue can accomplish. But prologues are really overused. They seem to me to work best when they're part of a frame story, or when they are dropping crumbs that'll be picked up later that would not be well served by reveals in the body text because you need the context going in. And there's a special kind of prologue, the story so far, which shouldn't be labeled a prologue. But those are seriously important in ongoing series where different books are connected across the series or where there's been a lot of time between one book and the next book, and so the fans need a bit of a recap. Or if the last book was just so intense and complicated that you need to refresh them on where everything was left and stuff like that. But that's not really a prologue. That's more a last week in my science fiction series, more like that. Stephen R. Donaldson calls it what has gone before. The BBC calls it the story so far. There's all sorts of ways to do that, and they're all great ways, but that's not a prologue. The best example I can see of how a prologue... In fact, I can give you the best and worst examples of prologue at the same time. Two versions of retellings of the same story that itself, if I recall correctly, did not have a prologue. But the adaptations to film used a prologue to economize storytelling because they were long books. Lord of the Rings. In the Peter Jackson version, Galadriel tells a big story ripped directly from the pages of the Silmarillion, though it was also touched on in Lord of the Rings, about the battle between Sauron and the forces of men and the killing of Sauron by Isildur and all of that. And then skipping forward and showing Bilbo finding the ring in the cave with Gollum or something. They left out some really important stuff so that they could bring it back in Return of the King for dramatic effect, but it wasn't done well. In the book, all this stuff was included in the flow of the story. It was included in reveals and flashbacks and people learning the history of the thing they were involved in as they went through the story. That worked supremely well. Sort of demonstrates that in the hands of a really good storyteller, you don't need a prologue at all. Damn it. However, what Peter Jackson did poorly, and I really do mean that because you'll see how poorly it is when you look at the less well-known and less beloved Ralph Bashy version of Lord of the Rings, which has all sorts of problems, but its opening is stunning. Instead of giving you these massive battles of armies, these incredibly rich visual feasts of special effects extravaganza to knock you off your feet and to make you dizzy with the subsonics and the mix and everything, all the tricks that they pulled out. Bashy did it as a shadow play, and he did it as a simple story. He didn't stop to show you the action. He didn't stop to show you the fights. The fights and the action played out on the wall of a cave, on a screen, in shadows only, as the voice of Gandalf narrates the history of the ring in such a way that it's utterly, utterly captivating. Because it's fairly straightly adapted from Gandalf's telling of the history of the ring to Frodo in Hobbiton 17 years after Bilbo leaves in the book. But he didn't do all of it. He did just enough that you had the full context, and so Bilbo's disappearance at that birthday party was terrifying and shocking. And then he fills in the rest of it when Gandalf is talking to Frodo. Unlike where Gandalf talking to Frodo is it secret? Is it safe? You must go! You must go! No. In the Ralph Bashy version, there's a relaxed conversation between Gandalf and Frodo where Gandalf is not filling in the whole history of the ring, because we've already heard that from him, but with some crossfades you get the idea that Frodo's getting it. Gandalf is giving Frodo the current situation in very broad brushstrokes in a way that makes Frodo really invested in what's going on. And it starts off as a very easygoing conversation and becomes incredibly intense as it goes on. The animation in the sequence is a bit daft. There's a lot of what beginning drama students will recognize as milking the cosmic cow, which is something that actors do when they don't quite know what to do with their hands, and it's one of the things you have to train yourself not to do when you're on stage. And the actor they had doing the body modeling for Gandalf was milking the cosmic cow, and the animators just copied those motions. There's some stuff in there that's a bit daft, but as far as the handling of the prologue, you want to see the right and the wrong way to handle a prologue. Look at the Ralph Bashy version of Lord of the Rings and the Peter Jackson version of The Fellowship of the Ring. The first 3-4 minutes of the Bashy version and the first 20 minutes, I think, of the Peter Jackson version. And you'll see the difference that a good prologue can make versus an, it didn't really need to be a prologue kind of prologue. And it really didn't need to be a prologue in the Peter Jackson version, given how many goddamn times through the whole trilogy he showed those same scenes again! Not that I'm bitter. I am bitter. But I'm not saying that because I'm bitter. I'm saying it because it was fucking incompetent. Anyway. Unpopular opinion, I know there were things about the Peter Jackson version I loved, but that was not one of them. Hopefully that answers the question, and yeah, prologue, you're right about prologues and matching the tone and the feel and giving people a good idea of what to expect, because if you do something that's a radical departure, you may lose your readers as soon as they hit chapter one, especially if they buy based on the prologue tone and they get something totally different in chapter one. Thank you very much for the question, Roland. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.